On this beautiful late October day, I'm sitting here with a birthday boy and I had to present him a gift. The 10 biggest ballers in the world. Now, what does that mean? Each of us has our own definition of what a baller is. But today, it's my wonderful co-host Joey's birthday and I'm going to present to him who I believe are the 10 biggest ballers on planet Earth. We hope you enjoy.
Oh yeah.
216, Joey, happy birthday to you. Thank I hope you. The people have thanked you and you had a wonderful birthday weekend so far. How's it going, dude?
Good, man. Good. How are you? It's been a minute.
It has been a minute. It's wonderful to have you back in the co-hosting chair. Ladies and gentlemen, in case you haven't been able to tell so far, the co-host today is not Mina. I have Joe back with me. As always, I'm your host, Mr. Nathan Santos. And today, I kind of gave it away in the teaser, didn't I? It's the 10 biggest ballers in the world. And for this episode, what I want to do is I want to focus on the vibes. Mm-hmm. This episode's about feeling. There's no stats involved with this. You know what I mean? You know a person's a baller when you watch them.
It's the eye. It's the eye test.
It's the eye test. Exactly. This has nothing to do with, oh, but he had this many take-ons in his XG. And I don't care about any of that, bro. I'm not interested in any of that. Who, when you watch them play, gets your heart racing, right? Yeah. Who, when you watch them play, does things that you're like, man, ain't nobody doing stuff like that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Scream baller.
When they get the ball, they put asses in the seats, but they make you only need the edge of it. You know what I'm saying?
To me, that's the baller.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's who I'm classifying for this. And when when I was making this list, I discovered that there's more ballers than I actually thought there were. Because I thought, I was like, bro, how many are there? It was maybe like five of those players. And then I'm like, well, actually, this guy has, like, he's that guy too. And I kind of went through it. And then I found two things. Most of the ballers that we have that I'm going to bring you through are like some of the very, very best in the world. And they tend to be in the positions that are the most electrifying, right? Your wingers, your number 10s.
Yeah.
What I also realize is that when you compare this to like an all-time list, and that might be the part two to this episode, we might do a continuation on another day of the biggest ballers of all time.
Yeah.
Football's changed so much, bro. The number 10
so much
position, the wingers, it's not what it once was.
Yeah, bro. I know, of course. And that's thanks to your Mr. Pep Guardiola for fucking everything up. Thanks a lot, bro, for bringing systems and shit. That's all him.
you're not wrong. That is partially true. And it shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. I actually don't have any Man City players on this list today. Because those players run. They're parts of the machine that run and kick ass. But that's not what we're talking about today. Today,
we're talking about ballers.
We're talking about ballers. So while maybe the number 10s of old and the wingers of old are not what we see today, there are some players that break the curve. There are some that are allowed to be themselves in a team. And like I said, put asses in the seats, but make you only need the edge of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way to frame what a baller is. What I have,
I think, Jill, that's a perfect way.
I got 10 to 1. And then I have a wild card who deserves to be on the list, but I need you to tell me where.
Okay.
So somebody's going to get bumped. This power ranking's going to move around. Okay. And I guess we'll start with 10.
Yes.
We'll move our way up, all right?
All right, let's do this.
At number 10, the 10th biggest baller in the world. It makes no difference to me what league he plays in. When this dude has the ball, things happen. And it's the Gucci headband, bro. Alan Saint-Maximin is a top 10 baller in the world. Today, yesterday, 3 years ago, 3 years from now, this dude plays with that flair that excites people. And it doesn't matter if he only scores one goal all season, he gets an assist. Everybody knows when Alan Saint-Maximin gets the ball, stuff's about to go down, right?
Yeah. 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 He's what I like to call a confident player. He's out there just like his Gucci headband, bro. But minus the sponsorship, unfortunately, he needs it. But I agree with that. He's a certified baller. I mean, Newcastle baller. He's just fun to watch, bro. He's just so fun to watch. I mean, when he comes with the assists and goals, it makes it better. But like when he gets the ball, he's like, all eyes on me, bitch. You know, especially with Newcastle when they were like ass for a while. Right. It was just him. Yeah, bro. He was amazing.
He's the grandfather of this whole Newcastle revelation project. That happened because of Alan Saint-Maximin. If they didn't go get him in like 2017 from Nice. That doesn't happen. And the fact that he fits this bill is like, you're right, it's confidence. Because you know the kind of confidence you have to walk into a new league with a Gucci headband, to play football with a Gucci headband. And I go, yeah, I'm that guy, bro. And it made me just think, if he was slightly better, he could have been like an all-time great, because his actual talent on the ball, like one of one.
One of one, bro. He was my confidence. Yeah, I think the way I use the confidence is the best, because he took on like four defenders at the same time and just said, and if he'd lose it the first time, he'd be like, second time coming, I'll do the same exact thing, bro. That's literally confidence, bro. And and it would work. So he drives into traffic. He's a rim protector. No, I'm kidding, but he's great. He's he's an offensive rebounder. He does it all, bro. Everything. He's fantastic. Well, okay, he doesn't do it all. I think his passing and shooting at times, which are two very important things, were kind of somewhat lackluster. But when he had the ball on his feet, it was going places, bro. As long as he can run into the net. If there was a rule where you could run into the net, he'd be he'd be the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
Honestly, yeah.
As long as the ball doesn't leave his feet.
If there was a no passing rule in football, he would have been the guy, because no one's getting the ball off him.
No way. Yeah, yeah. He'd be the best in the world ever, other than Messi, probably.
Because,
bro,
his only limitations were when he gave that ball away, right? So, whenever you pass or shoot, that's like departing with the ball, that's when you're like, oh, bro, damn it, like,
bro, like literally don't do that, bro. Just keep the ball in your feet, like running. Run into the goal,
see how far you can go, dude. But I had to put him at number 10 because I think he's forgotten about, where people don't, like, they know he's not among the best in the world in his position, but at what he does, at being a baller by our classification, he's just magnificent.
They don't appreciate him enough.
No, they don't. I want to go to number 9 now, if we're good with by being the opener for us.
Like
I
said,
this episode's about the vibes. This probably won't be the longest episode of the Jersey Wall ever recorded, but it's one that I want you to just feel. In your heart, and let that be what we do for this episode. At number 9, I put Florian Wirtz at number 9, Joe.
Oh, baller.
Is this
I like that. That's a baller. That's good,
a freaking baller, bro.
That's a baller, bro. Mark says he's going to be like the best player in the world.
At some point. Yeah, he might be at some point. I don't think it's very long before Pep Guardiola decides to be like, I need him. I need him in this team.
Yeah, that guy is a certified baller, bro. Yeah. Leverkusen's sick this year, by the way.
And that's kind of it. Like, he's the heart. And by the way, he came off a nasty knee injury. He was out for 10 months. And he came back and he's just like, didn't miss a beat. He's like, I might have missed a year, but I didn't miss a beat in terms of my abilities. I'm still that guy. And that's, I think, the other thing with ballers is that they're all him. They're that guy. Who's that guy for their team? I personally think that Florian Wirtz kind of fills that. He does fill that classification.
No, he is that guy.
Leverkusen are that team right now, right? Everybody's looking at Leverkusen. They're like, yo, they're nasty, bro. The wing backs, Florian Wirtz, Victor Boniface,
Frimpong, all of them.
Frimpong, right? Grimaldo. They have players in their team. Even Xhaka has been a revelation. Xhaka's not a baller, though, but Xabi Alonso, baller, right? When a baller is your coach and he leads the team,
yeah,
by the way, you know
ballers.
He's about to produce some ballers.
Dude. Yeah, yeah. Bro, he's Wirtz is a certified baller. You know, I could say, like, other than everyone else in Bayern Munich, Wirtz is probably the biggest name in the Bundesliga, because I'm thinking of it right now. Yeah, bro, Wirtz. For people with ball knowledge, that is, because Wirtz is a killer. He's a killer. I don't even, you know me, guys. I don't like the Bundesliga.
Yep.
And Nathan knows that, right? Yep. Yeah, I don't give credit to it. But that guy, wow.
I think he's a top. I think he's a top 5 player in the Bundesliga, and he might be higher. He wouldn't be 5, bro. You know what I mean? Like, if I think of players who are actually better than him at football or in the conversation for, there's a handful of names, even at Bayern. Because let's be real. Florian Wirtz walks into this Bayern Munich team. Yeah, and he plays alongside some other ballers in that team, because they got some Musiala as well. Right? Yeah, like, there's some dudes who Bayern have as well. But
certified.
Florian Wirtz, you look at the Bayer Leverkusen team, what it was initially when he started to integrate, and you're like, yo, that guy can play. That guy can play. His football IQ, his ability to thread the needle, a little bit David Silva-esque in the way he threads the needle. Right? Yeah, but the way he links up play, you're like, this guy's got that football IQ. I love seeing that.
Yeah.
And then departs Leverkusen. Can you tell me anything about Leverkusen last season? No. And I don't blame you, because who could, right? Why would he comes back in the team? I don't think it's a coincidence that they're now pushing the very, very, very highest boundary of what this team is capable of. Because since his integration back into the team, they're miles better. And it's not that he's just a good system player. It's that Xabi Alonso knows how to get the most out of key members of the squad. That's what he does as a manager. He's like, all right, who needs to be sick in my team? The rest of you are supporting cast. Who are my stars? My stars are my wingbacks. My stars are Florian Wirtz and Victor Boniface. Those are the stars. That's the Mount Rushmore.
Leverkusen squad.
And he's right at the helm. I think he's one of one. He's by far and away their best player. And he is that guy. So Florian Wirtz, baller,
certified. I love that.
I'll go to number eight. It feels like we're flying by this, but I want this to be that episode, bro.
Just
be a little stinger episode, to be honest.
Yeah.
At number eight, this might be low for him. And by the way, after we go through the list, you can dispute places. You can tell me if I have anybody who should be in different spots.
Simon Wirtz, okay.
Because even if right now, if you think Florian Wirtz is low, like think of how high of a baller that is, who might be sitting above him.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
At number eight, I've decided to go with my Portuguese baller, João Félix.
Oh, that's a tough one.
He's a baller.
I've seen him.
He's a baller.
He's a certified baller. Is he better than Wirtz, though?
Well, hold on. Is the conversation better or more of a baller? Because this is like who's the better player necessarily. But who fits the definition of a baller?
You know what? João Félix is techie as fuck. So I think, based off that, you know what? That's a good way of questioning it, Nathan. You know what? Yeah. Techie. Félix is so, bro. He is the techiest of techiest. He's
very high up on that techie-ness.
Very high, bro. And he plays for free too. So he doesn't love him.
Bro, literally. And that's literally. The other thing. It's for the joy. It's for the love of the sport. This dude doesn't pull up because he's like, oh man, yeah, I'm gonna make bank and just cook what I he's like, no, listen. I'm gonna take the biggest pay cut in world football. I'm gonna get paid pennies on the dollar to go in there and just reignite my career. And there's something that very few people have known. The people who didn't give up on João Félix have known this for a long time. João Félix has been that guy since he's 19 years old and he was the golden boy. And then what we learned was that João Félix cannot be that guy in a system that doesn't allow João Félix to be that guy.
Of course.
If your team sucks and you're going to play super defensive and you're going to try to keep him away from possession and away from the ball and away from players who can help him be that guy, I think that all ballers would suffer in that regard. And he's had to endure quite a bit of suffering, which is why I've put him so far low. Because if for the past 3-4 years we've been watching João Félix present Barca form, for the last 3-4 seasons, this dude might be top two, right? Because I think if he had been able to demonstrate that. What we're seeing is the reignition of João Félix's career. And thank God. Because so damn good. And I think that now seeing him play at Barca, the link-up play, like you said, the techiest of guys, watching him and what he does with the ball at his feet when he's in a team that just allows him to explore, link-up play, use skill moves, run at people, run away, drag people with him, shoot. It, like the drip that he plays with, it's unbelievable, bro.
Bro, saucy. He's so saucy. You know what? And I'm really happy to see that because at Chelsea, he was great. But obviously, like Chelsea was a shit show. So you couldn't show anything. It was just, it's funny because imagine breaking out of prison to enter another prison. Like just, I broke out and I'm going to another cell. That's basically it. Now he's actually out of it and he's, well, somewhat out of it. I guess he's bribing the officers to get him out because he's doing it for free. And I don't even know if Barca could afford him next year, but if they have to, because he's like their best player, to be honest.
He's basically doing an internship at Barca.
Literally. You know and he's I mean? Killing like, it. He's killing it, bro.
So
yeah.
Good. Because he really
crazy
is.
Co-op. That's insane.
Exactly, it, bro.
That's some Waterloo co-op, bro. That's
he's
insane,
on a co-op
man.
Program.
Yeah, he's in a co-op program. That's what he's in. Damn, I love that.
Don't forget, for the national team, he was also suffering big time. Like, there's so few, there's glimpses of the abilities we've seen from for the past couple of years.
He had the most defensive managers, the most. Yeah,
in the world, literally
in the world, with the most, the best attacking talent in the world is getting the most defensive managers. Yeah, bro, it's a mess.
It's very, a mess. Very frustrating. But I put João Félix humbly at number eight. Because I think that that's an appropriate place for his baller abilities. Because we've only really seen like him 4 years ago and then the last like 8 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So the amount of time spent watching this baller is less than some above him.
100%. Okay. I got it.
I'll move to number seven, and you can you can tell me. You might say cap. I might hear you say cap, because I did cap earlier on this list. I said no Man City players will make the list. One does.
Okay.
One of these guys is a baller.
Wow. Wow. I know which one.
I think it's got to be Phil Foden, bro. I think Phil Foden has to make the list for one of the top 10 biggest ballers in the world. And I'll tell you why, Joe. You said off the top, who ruined ballers in this sport?
Man City. Pep.
Pep Guardiola. Pep Guardiola only allows one dude, one guy in the seven-year tenure he's been there to play with flair. You know who it is?
It's Phil Foden.
It's Phil Foden. And he saw it in him when he was 17, and he went, I'm going to let you play, kid. Like, what? Like, show me what you can do. And it hasn't always worked to his benefit, because sometimes Phil's had to compete with literally the greatest players of all time, right? Like, Phil's has to compete for places at 18 years old with David Silva, Kevin De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva, right? Like, these are not easy names to just displace 100%.
In the team. No way. No
way. But what we've seen is gradual increases of Phil Foden, who's basically already a five-time Premier League winner and Champions League winner, and he's 22 years old. You ever watched Foden play in game? Like,
yeah,
the way he receives the ball, the way he moves past people. Sometimes the finishing's not there, and I wish that he was slightly better in those areas, but it comes with improvement because we've tracked his progression. Phil Foden is enabled to be a free-roaming, skillful player in a team where Pep said, we ain't doing that. Vintage Pep got rid of Ronald fucking Dino because he was like, no, this isn't what I do here. And he said to a 17-year-old Phil Foden, he can play. Let me see what he's got. Bro. Yeah. That is transcending. That's breaking the norm. That is why I have Phil Foden as one of the top 10 ballers in the world. Because you have to remember, in a team not called Man City, if Phil Foden played for that team, right? If he didn't come through our academy and he came through anybody else's, Phil Foden's a 90-minute player every single week, year after year after year.
No, 100%. Like, I mean, vintage Ronaldinho. I'm looking at Cole Palmer, and I think that guy's a baller. He's fucking amazing. So Foden is like that on steroids. Yeah. So, yeah, techie baller. I like that. I like that. I like that. Like, he's got great control on the ball, you know, fast, but he's just so skillful. I hate admitting it, but yeah. Anyway, Phil Foden's better than Mason Mount, right? Are we going to agree right now?
I mean, yo, I've been barking that for a long time, bro. But I remember it was put the Champions League on the table, and I was like, all right, fair. But now I can. So now I'm like, where's Mount?
No, he's my problem.
Carrington in the training ground somewhere.
That's Mina's problem now, bro.
Just playing rock paper scissors with Jaden Sancho.
Yeah, in the back, they're going clubbing. I got Cole Palmer playing 90 minutes, bro. Don't worry, I love that shit. No, you know, techie. Odin's techie as fuck, man. I love him. You know, like you said, he's only 22, bro. He's only
22, 23. He's crazy.
Crazy, man. That's crazy. That's crazy.
I think part of it is like because I watch him play so much, and I watch City play so much. You start to recognize the patterns of play that City play with. But when a ball comes over the top and Foden's like, most players look at this and go, all right, it's coming over from the left side. I'm going to receive this on my right foot, take it into stride, and then either cut it back or shoot from here because I'm making the run behind the defender anyway. And what does Foden do? He's like, I'm going to lift my left heel here, rainbow flick this over my head, then scoop turn and try to square it again from level positions. I'm like, bro, sometimes the decision-making is hard because you're like, don't do that. Like, why would you do that? But when it comes off, you're like,
damn,
this dude
baller.
Just rainbow flicked the defender from a ball in the air. Like, the ball control that this dude has is
like,
immaculate.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And I think the fact that it breaks through the City norm, the City routine, and Pep actually allows it because he knows how damn good Phil is, I think it's probably a justified reason as to why Phil Foden is, in my opinion, a top 10 biggest baller on planet Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. What number are we on? Seven, right?
That was seven.
Wow.
To be honest, some of these, bro, like I said, some of this is, it's baller ability. It's not just talent. Yeah. Because to be honest, there are some names above these guys who are not better footballers than Florian Wirtz, than Joao Felix,
ballers.
Or than Phil Foden. But I think that you have to just kind of say, okay, this guy's a freaking baller too, man.
Okay.
Can we go to six?
Yeah, Yannick Bolasie. No, I'm kidding.
Yo, you know what? There's a different version of this episode where we do the most FIFA street players of all time. Yannick Bolasie, one of one. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Because that dude had skill moves in video games named after him.
Yeah,
that's a different level of baller, bro. Yeah.
Like the McGady spin,
Yeah, that was the like McGady spin.
Yeah, I remember that. That was because of him, and he used to play for like Spartak Moscow, I think, at the time too. It was pretty. He's Irish guy. He's pretty. Yeah, funny, man. He
played for Everton at some point, and I'm like,
yeah, he did. He did. Dude, yeah,
this guy's crazy. Yeah, that exactly. The McGeady spin, yeah. the Bolasie flick. I remember. Yeah. We were in high school trying to practice. Like, how does this guy even do that? Because he was basically like have his hands and feet on the floor at the same time, and you're like,
yeah,
what are you doing? And then he would just step over, turn backwards, flick it over his toe, kick it up, and then run. I'm like, I have no idea how can you even conceptualize doing that?
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Totally forgot about that, eh? Yeah,
you remember that, bro?
We do it when they were playing basketball. We're like, bro, let's try to do skills.
Yeah, exactly, bro.
Yeah, I remember that. You remember when you kicked the basketball right into the net? I remember that one.
I did?
Yeah, bro, you like kicked it and it went inside the hoop.
Oh, bro, I'm fucking sick. Eh?
Yeah, I remember.
I actually don't remember that, but I'm glad that you do. I'm glad that my legacy leaves an impact with you. That's the ultimate sign of legacy, right?
Because if I forgot, you were a baller. You were a baller, bro.
Yeah, I was a baller, bro. That walk away like Balotelli, that just put the T-shirt over the head. Why always me?
You literally went like this, like with your hands
like Bellingham.
Like Bellingham. I'm like, damn, this is the original Jude, bro. Damn, that's crazy.
That was me, bro. Original Jude Bellingham, Mr. Nate Santos, kicking basketballs into nets. Yeah, bro, I'm sick. I'm like that, bro. Anyway,
I know you are.
let's go to six. At six, you might think this is low. The form of this player has actually affected me because he is a baller, but in some capacity, I'm like, but it's more explosive than skill. So, which is why I've put him at six, and it's Vinicius Jr. Vinicius Jr. is a baller. Can't nobody contest that Vinicius Jr. is a baller.
Certified.
But the actual things that he does, sometimes he'll come off with something crazy, like a rainbow flick. You're like, what the hell? Like, what are we talking about here? But other times, he'll literally just be standing over the ball, lifting his knee, like fluttering his foot, not touching the ball. And then he'll just explode past someone because his acceleration is probably, 100. What, top three in the world? Top three?
Yeah, yeah. At least.
Amongst the most explosive athletes that I think the sport has, which I think takes away from the actual skill that he does, but it doesn't take away from how much of a baller he actually is. Because you can't forget, this is a player who, unlike some of the other ones who are above him, he actually has mad output too. There are seasons where Vinicius is putting up 50 goal involvements between goals and assists, and he's doing it from the wing, cutting in, taking, blowing by people, skilling past them. Sometimes it's athleticism, sometimes it's skill. But Vinicius Jr. is a baller.
Oh, baller. He is. He's a certified baller. Like you said, his talent is when it comes to explosiveness.
Yeah.
And he's a very explosive player. But that doesn't mean he's a baller, bro. He still swipes through the whole team. Like when he cuts inside, you pray to God. That's how good he is.
Mm.
Like, I'm literally praying. When he was playing Chelsea, I was like, please, God, please, like, let's let him not do this again. And he'd rinse every left back in the world or right back or whatever side he's freaking playing on. He's usually playing wing. Yeah. He rinses them, bro. He like takes their life away. Like, I get tired just watching him run. Like, he's so fast. But no, that's a good pick. Certified baller, bro. Like, yeah, he may not be as skillful as the others, but he's got like, he needs one or two moves and he's out. He's out of there, bro. He'll move his knee, flick it up, you're gone. Thank you. Go look, like you look where his knee's at, and it's already behind you because he went so crazy.
Do you think that this is too high or too low for Vinicius at number six? Like, not a top five baller in the world?
No, number we're talking about ballers, bro.
We're talking about ballers.
Ballers. And I wanna hear the rest of the thing, and then I'll actually be able to decide.
Okay.
We're gonna run it down at the end. Yeah, we're gonna run like every name down, and then I'm gonna see which I agree or disagree.
And you can dispute it, and then tell me where my wild card goes, because I've left one player. Basically, we have a debate for who should enter this list.
Yeah.
At number five, this is a hot take. This is a hot take, but this is tremendous appreciation for a baller, and this is why I'm gonna put context to this. A man who has no business being this good makes him a baller. I think that sets him above. Everybody else, listen, bro. Florian Wirtz has been a baller since he's 19. João Felix, baller since he's 19.
Yeah.
Foden, baller since he's 19. All these dudes, Vinicius, baller since he's 19. Like, a lot of these dudes have been teenagers. They were destined.
They were destined to be a baller.
The biggest ballers in the world. But
it's like we're talking about. Yeah, go on. Like, we're talking about Dimitri Payet kind of. Bro. I get it. Yeah.
When people come out of nowhere and you're like, where has this guy been that you're just coming in? The nerve you have to not be predestined as amongst the best in the world and just bring your flamethrower and burn up everything that's in your way.
Yeah.
Kaoru Matoma, bro, is baller. A top five baller on God's green earth.
Yo, top five. Wow, he broke into it, eh, bro? Because he is 30, bro. I didn't know where the fuck he came from. He's like 25. And I'm like, dude, why have I never heard of you? And you're out here, like, taking everyone on, left wing back, left mid. You take him on, bro. Fucking amazing. That's a good one.
Joe, okay, there's things, you know, I kicked a basketball into a basketball net. That's like a skill move. It's like, bro, what are you doing? If that was my thing, people would be like, what are we talking about here? Sometimes you do stuff that just makes you a ball. That, because of that, I'm a ball, apparently. And that's, I like that classification. Mm-hmm. We talk about like the art of dribbling, the art of skilling. We're like, yo, how can I like study this art? Kaoru Matoma literally wrote a thesis paper in university on dribbling.
Really?
This man, he was IQ, playing in Japan. Insane. He was 22 years old, still in Japan. 23, you're looking at this guy playing for local, you know, Japanese teams and whatnot. Not thinking that this dude's going to go on and set the Premier League on fire within a year. But this dude is 22 years old and wrote his thesis paper at university.
That's impressive.
On dribbling.
That's impressive, bro. That is so impressive. I'm
Think
actually
of being a student of the game. What that means. We're all students of the game. Why we watch footy every single weekend. We analyze patterns of play. We look at who's the ballers, who's not, why, what can we do there? And then we go further on TJW. We talk about rebuilds. We talk about, you know, who's ready for the next step. We make predictions based on these dudes. I like to think we're students of this game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo, we are.
This show was born out of university knowledge I acquired.
Amen.
Kaoru Matoma studied dribbling. And then went on to be the best one in the best league in the world. You understand what we're talking about here?
Yeah, bro. Yeah, he is. Listen, I think he is part of a anime show, to be honest. I think there's an anime being filmed right now, and it's about his life because he's fucking insane. He's like, bro, there was like a soccer, show, like a soccer anime show called, in Arabic, called Captain Majid. That's him, bro. I looked at him. I'm like, bro, that's you. You're real. I can't fucking believe it, bro. You're like literally in front. He dribbles and you're like, oh my God, that's fucking Captain Majid, bro. He's out here on the fucking streets destroying everything, bro. Amazing. Amazing. You know what? I like this list a lot. You know, this is not like, oh, I was destined to be good. It's like, I'm a fucking baller. Like, I'm Dimitri Payet kind of shit, bro.
You like know that I'm putting like things behind this. Intentional, like I'm constructing arguments as to why these dudes are here, and I think I have real reasons as for why.
The thesis paper's insane, bro. That is like, how did you know that? That's fucking crazy. What
this
guy's
crazy, bro. Like, that's what he does. That's who he is. When you talk about being that guy, you're not predestined for it, bro. He went to, how many pro athletes don't even finish high school?
Oh, a lot.
They're predestined for it. They're like, they're so good, you're gonna be okay. You don't need to even finish high school because you're going to go on to make millions of dollars. You're going to be already super, super influential. Look 100%. At these kids. Look at like Lamine Yamal, 15, bro. He's in grade 9. He's playing the Barca first team. He's like, all right, listen, this is it. He was in elementary school last year. Now he's scoring goals for the Spanish national team and breaking records in La Liga. He's predestined for it. Kid's a baller. Yeah. But that was written. Bro, that's divine intervention. Kaoru Matoma was sitting there, 22 years old in Japan, studying dribbling to the point that he was like, okay, what can I learn from this? How can I write about this? And, you know, once you start teaching others to do stuff, it enriches your own knowledge because you have to understand it from a different perspective. He put theory into practice, applied it to his own game, and now cooks in the Premier League, where Brighton is the most underrated team probably there. Bro.
Wow.
Kaoru Matoma is like an inspirational story.
Inspirational anime character, baller. Yeah. Amazing. Like he's literally not real. He's not real. He's fucking unbelievable. That's a good pick, Nate. I like that. Fifth. I'm ready to hear the rest, actually. So
that was number five. Yeah, ready? We're only going up from here.
Tough.
At number four, okay. So for the same reasons, like I said, when you come out of nowhere, people are like, what are you talking about? Kaoru Matoma, what do we call him? We call him Matoma, right? Because that's his name. His name is Matoma. We can say Matoma. It's not hard to say, but we're not comparing him to like generational greats. We're talking about Kaoru Matoma as being this unbelievable dribbler setting the world on fire. He's a baller.
Yeah.
Okay. Joe, there's a country in Europe that is not known for anything particular, right?
I know who's next.
The state in the US. Okay.
Okay.
You have K's, you have V's in your name. People are like, how do I pronounce this, man? Kvicha Kvaratskhelia. No one's saying that. So what did they decide to call him, Joe? Kvaradona. Named after who? Diego Armando Maradona, which is like on the Rushmore of ballers to ever exist. We're talking about players who changed the game.
Yeah.
People saw Kvicha Kvaratskhelia, a 21-year-old from Georgia, play football, and they went, you know who he's like? You know who he's like? He's like Diego Armando Maradona.
That's crazy. That's a certified baller, bro. That's like, come on, bro. Come on, man. He's got it all. He's techie as fuck, too. Oh, disgusting. What? You know what? If you were a defender, Nathan, and that guy's running at you, what are you doing? That's my question to you. What are you doing?
To be honest, I'd rather have a pocket knife in my pocket, split my ACLs, so that at least I can be in control of destroying my own knees. So I don't give this dude the satisfaction of doing it for me. You know what I mean? I would rather sever my own ligaments in my knees than have to endure the torture of watching this dude sprint past me. You know, in men's league, when you're a little tired, sub.
100%.
Has the boys in front of me. I'm signaling sub to the
bench. Running it. Bro, I was playing over the week. And like, I, of course, had to defend, but I was like, dude, if someone like, a Kvaradona comes through, I'm fucked. I'm like who? How, if you're an elite defender, you have to be shitting your pants because this guy's fucking insane. So like,
Think about it, right? If I go one on one, let's say I fancy myself. I'm that guy. I think I'm that right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yo, do your best, and he cooks me, right? Sets me apart. I'm like, all right, yo, you know what we're gonna do then? We'll double up. Hey, winger, come back. We're gonna double up. We're gonna make sure you can't get past. Both of us on the floor.
What do you do?
Okay, yo, we're gonna triple team this guy. Okay, yo, I want midfielder. I want right center back. I want me winger. Come support if you can once he's past you. That's fine because we have another three here. And he sits everybody down. At some point, you're looking at how many guys can we commit to one guy because he's just a guy with a ball at his feet.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here? How is it possible that we have 1, 2, 3, 4 professional athletes who can't dispossess this man? And it's not like we're looking at him. He's going, yeah, but it's Messi. You know, he's from Argentina. He's from Spain. He's from like a footballing great country, and it's in his blood. He's from Georgia, Joe.
Bro, who knows where Georgia is on the map? I do, but like I know a lot of people don't. So like 100%. It's he's crazy, man. He's insane. And like you said it, right? They did three team him. They double teamed him. They three team put them on their ass, bro. That's baller. You know, that's baller, bro.
There's a quote that Chael Sonnen used to have. Chael Sonnen, the greatest combat sports promo guy of all time. And he said in a promo, he basically said 1-on-1, 2-on-1, or 5-on-1, I'll make them all need 9-1-1. That's a cold line, right? Because you're like, doesn't matter how many dudes you put in front of me, they're all gonna need the same number. And that's that's Kvaradona. He's Chael Sonnen. Yeah. He's pulling up, saying 1-on-1, 2-on-1, or 5-on-1.
I'm taking
need 9-1-1.
But that's what I mean. That's a baller. That's a baller. The man who's confident to take him on, like we said about Saint-Maximin. Except you know, Saint-Maximin, I think is like a B-Tech Kvaradona, to be honest. But because like
Kvaradona, he walked so Kvara could run, bro.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good point. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He brought tech back in. We gotta appreciate the baller that is. When Maximin came back on the scene, I felt like it was 2007. It was amazing. Yeah. You know, when he was playing.
You feel that Hatem Ben Arfa in the air.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm going to just take them all on and like lose the ball, but get it back and do the same thing again. Oh, it's like fucking shit football. I love it, bro.
Oh, dude, it's so good. And then we look at like what Napoli went on to do last season because of it. Him. And then this season, he fell off towards the back end. Now he's starting to reignite that again. I'm not concerned about what he's like on his bad days.
Yeah.
I'm talking about when this dude, because you don't know when he's going to have a bad day, when he's going to have a good day, right? We're not saying Kvara's world class just yet. He doesn't have to be. This dude's top of the class. Summa cum laude at Baller University. You know what I'm saying? This dude's pulling up. Named after Maradona, dude. Oh my
God. That's how much of a baller you have to be. So, yeah. That's Maradona.
That's who the Napoli fans saw. They saw literally like Mount reincarnation. Rushmore, the greatest to ever have done the sport, in some opinions. They saw a 21-year-old from Georgia and went, that's the next Maradona. That I can't even quantify that kind of praise. We say it like it's fun, like it's just a little nickname because we can't say Farah's Khelia. You could have just named him anything. Could have just called him Kvara, right?
Yeah.
Kvara, oh, yeah, he's a good winger. They didn't. They called him Kvaradona, dude. Yeah. I want him to put that on the jersey.
Yeah.
Put that on the back. I think that'll be easier. I think it'll solve
make that your business. Name. Legal name change.
Yeah,
come on.
Exactly.
Let's go. Yeah.
So much easier. Fuck. Come on, dude. I have him at number four.
Four.
And the
okay.
only reason is because, like I said, I'm quantifying stuff.
Yeah.
Kvara's had lulls. We don't know when he's going to have the good day or bad day. On his good, on his best, he might be among the very, very best. But the three above him, the three above him are world class every day of the week, destined to be ballers, lived up to the potential, and are the best players in the world.
Okay.
You understand where I'm going with this? So
yeah,
from this
point
forward, we're not talking about guys who don't deserve to be in this list, who are not amongst the best, but they're really good. We're talking
These
about
guys
the
are.
Best in the world. And they're ballers. And they've been ballers. And they fulfilled their destiny. It's all coming together. And then I just ranked them. You ready?
Sierra, yep. Number three.
Number three is where I put Jamal Musiala.
Bah! I was waiting for that. Okay, I want to hear the two others after this. But yeah,
I'll take you through the two others. But
yeah.
Jamal Musiala is like, I think, the most electrifying player in world football.
Right now? Has to be,
because there are certain like number 10s who are more, you know, ball playing heavy. There are certain players who are more like skillful, like, you know, directly skillful in terms of trickery that they do. There are some wingers with some crazy step overs and stuff, but I just think that Jamal Musiala actually is the most like electrifying player. The burst of pace, the skills from the center of the park to go left, to go right, to take people on.
It's amazing.
It's like I want people to watch the Bundesliga to appreciate this guy. And his level and Florian Wirtz's ceilings, they might be similar, but like Florian Wirtz coming back from injury, he's a very different style. He's more silky.
Yeah.
Jamal Musiala is explosive. He's literally electrifying. He's an electric eel that is just moving around on the pitch. So you're like,
that's where the eye test comes in. That's where the eye test comes in, right? You don't need IQ to see Musiala as a baller, bro. This guy is fantastic. Unbelievable. He has the skills and the explosiveness. The thing we were talking about Vinicius is he's very explosive. He may not have the skills as much compared to the others, but he's very skillful. I'm not saying anything else, but Musiala, all of it. And like you said, bro, from the middle of the park, he drags the ball in. Like, he's the most consistent baller, I think, in the world, in my opinion. I want to hear the other two, but right now he is the most consistent because he gives you that balling moments, bro. He's like, you look at it. When I say moments, I mean like you look at the TV and you're like, fucking baller. That's what you
say. Yeah, exactly. Like it literally just makes you feel something different
baller.
Than just what's unconventional, because it leaves you at a loss for words, which makes our job difficult because we have to put words together to make content.
Yeah, 100%.
So, but I'm like, well, how do I describe him? Like, he's electrifying. Just
he's like literally
play.
The best thing ever. Yeah.
You just sit back and enjoy. Like, this dude has the ball. Things happen. You know, he won the Bundesliga for Bayern last year. He's the one who ripped it from Dortmund's fingers. Because when Bayern needed a goal, this dude just slips around. Whoop. Whoop, 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 whoop. Gone.
And he scored.
Fires it like finesse into the like low far corner.
We were there. We watched it.
Yeah, we watched it. Remember?
Like, together. Yeah.
Who? Of course he did it. Why? He's that guy. He's
that
the
guy.
Baller. That's the dude who steps up. I'm him. Jamal Musiala is that dude. Some people will criticize Bundesliga things. This player cannot be. Like, you watch him play and what he does, bro, and playing off Kane and stuff now too.
Ugh. It's unbelievable.
Ugh, bro.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. It's freaking makes me sick to my stomach in a good way. I'm like, how is this dude this good at football?
Even the
man?
Game against United, he tore them a new one, bro. It was just disgusting. It wasn't fair. No, it wasn't fair having a player like that. But yeah.
We're getting to the point of the list where we're basically just salivating over player talents. But
yeah, I know, right? Can anybody dispute that? You can't even put it into words. Like, watch the fucking guy play. He's disgusting. Okay. Bro, for real.
And appreciate him now because the explosiveness will go. So by the time he's like 26, 27, he might be a different style player. For 100%. Right now, he's the most electrifying player in world football, in my opinion.
He'll be a lot smarter then too. So
like, yeah, maybe he adds, bro, because his only limitation is his long passing, because he doesn't like to get rid of the ball. He likes to have it with him. If he ends up learning from Kane how to long pass too, he'll be the most unplayable player. Like we're talking about
200 million. Conversation yeah. Here. Yeah. 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 Oh yeah. Definitely.
We're talking that level. Ahead of him is where I put the world's best player. This is where I put Kylian Mbappe.
Okay. I knew you were going to say Mbappe. Now, here's the thing, right?
Tell me.
Mbappe, goal scoring machine, all that. But like, don't we think like his explosiveness is really what carries him? Because like, I know he's a baller, like obviously, and he should be in the top 10 list. But like, I don't know, you know, I could say Musiala is a bigger baller than Mbappe.
You could.
You know what I mean?
You could say that. I don't know if you'd be right, but you could definitely say that. You could say a whole lot of things.
Musiala, if
we're ranking baller abilities, Musiala is right up there. I think what people forget with Mbappe, because a lot of people don't watch the French League, and I don't blame them, but people don't necessarily get the exposure to the best player in the world that they should.
Yeah.
The trickery that Kylian Mbappe pulls off, the swag, the drip with which he plays. This is a player who can be in a one-on-one and could just easily finish. What's he going to do? He's going to step over to make the keeper sit down and then chip him. Like,
that's a
baller. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is a player who's not just going to blow by like Vinicius does in a one-on-one. This is a player who's going to step over, meg you, and then go. And then cut back, meg another defender, and then finish. Like, people sleep on his skill moves. And it's not just his pace, because his pace is a huge, huge part of his game. It makes him super electrifying. But he actually has that flair from the wing that a lot of wingers don't. So the fact that he's able to produce 60 plus goals a season while playing with the explosiveness and trickery, bro, I think that Mbappe actually is like underrated as a baller, because people might only focus on his goal scoring ability and not how he scores ball. Joe, he scored a hat trick in the World Cup final. He won as the young player of the tournament in 2018. He was 18. This dude, the prophecy was written about Kylian Mbappe when he was 16 years old, when he dumped Man City head first out of the Champions League.
Yeah.
He's been a baller for almost 10 years now, which is crazy because he's 24.
Wow.
He's been setting teams apart. He's matured in his game to get the output there to make sure that his stats are matching how good he is. But Kylian Mbappe has been that guy. He's basically LeBron, right? He was destined, handpicked from the moment he was a teenager and said, this is the next one. Trust me. This is the next one, to watch what he does. And he's never failed. There's never been a thing where Mbappe has come like, okay, fine, he didn't win the World Cup in the final, but I don't mean that. I mean, there's no expectation that he didn't meet.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. He's still trying to win the Champions League. That's PSG's problem. Kylian Mbappe is the best player in the world. There's nothing that he hasn't delivered and improved upon. The way that he scores goals, even in the Champions League, bro. Oh, here comes the ball. What am I going to do? Head it? No, I'm just going to switch kick volley this into the net. Oh, I got to stand up two defenders against AC Milan to break the deadlock in the Champions League? No problem. Watch this. Like, smash it bottom corner.
He smashes
it bottom corner. Go far side. Everybody goes far side. He's going to daisy cutter it into the near post.
Fair. Okay. Yeah, he owned it. To be fair. Yeah, I know. And the thing is with Mbappe, he only needs this one chance. So that's baller mentality. Okay. I hear you, Nate.
Combination, bro. Like, we forget, because he's the best player in the world, what makes him that is a lot of things that go into that.
Yeah.
But this dude can at times feel like a crossover from like vintage CR7 with the flair from the wing. But, you know, Messi with how many people he could take on. You know what I mean? Like, this dude is the very, very best.
Of course, he is the very best. So
the very best. Currently. Yep.
At
number one, I have who I think is like the drippiest active player in the world, even if what we've seen this season and maybe for the past year is not representative of who he is.
Okay.
Neymar is the biggest baller in the world, bro.
Fuck Neymar, man. But you're right. Yeah, he is.
I know. I know there's a lot of reasons people dislike him. The diving, the fact he's injured for 6 months of the year, the fact that he complains more than anybody.
No, but we're mad at him because we know he's the biggest baller in the world.
And that's what it is. That's exactly right. Why are we mad at Neymar? We're mad because we're upset. We don't feel he's delivering all that he can. And all that he can is, for our generation, the most ability we've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. For at least, other than Messi and Ronaldo, you can't put these guys.
No, I excluded them intentionally. We're not talking. This isn't a Ronaldo Messi list. This is for the ballers of the world.
The ball. No. Neymar.
This is a guy who was winning Puskas Awards in Brazil. This is a guy who got Ballon d'Or nomination in South America. Top 10 in the world from South America. Did he? His injuries, his lifestyle, it hindered what his trajectory could have been for his career.
He Ronaldinho did. He did.
A little bit of that, exactly. Because in terms of what he could do with the football, I don't think anybody could do what Neymar did with the football.
Nah, he's a baller. He is a baller. But look, we're not arguing that. I don't think anyone should be arguing as Neymar being the biggest baller in the world based off ball, you know, like based on the attributes that we were saying earlier in the show. Yeah. But we're disappointed in him, but that's because he's such a fucking big baller, right? Like he is the baller. Like people looked at this guy saying, like, at Santos, bro, I've never seen so many people watch Brazilian Santos clips or Brazilian fucking clips in general other than Neymar highlights in Santos. And when he was in Santos, we're like, when is he fucking coming to Europe, bro? Like who's dropping 100? And he went to Barca, which of course, yeah, he should have stayed, blah, blah. Maybe they could have won three more, bro. Like, of course, but...
Oh, bro. Could have set up disgusting dynasty. Could have ripped that Real Madrid dynasty out of history. If Neymar stayed, that's a very different rivalry for those years.
100%. Because of the tech. And Suarez and Messi. MSN was, like, one of the best trios. Not long-lived at all, by the way. But, but no, Neymar is that guy. That guy. And he was supposed to be Messi's, like, to take over Messi's... Messi's spot, basically. But you know, obviously how things panned out. And anyway, you know what though, look, in hindsight of things, Messi never fucking left, right? So like who's spot? Like it's always going to be the Messi show there, of course. It's Messi, unless you can prove yourself otherwise. But definitely
we're disappointed because we didn't get all that we felt we could have out of Neymar. 100%. But Neymar was that guy, and I think the ultimate combination of like understanding the techers that go into the team play with individual skill, because his actual on ball skill ability wasn't just athleticism and blow by people. It was like I said, skill moves we've never seen before, or that come straight out of a video game that you could do with Neymar's character in game that don't work in real life. Cause we all played FIFA and go, bro, that can't happen in real life. Like, that would never happen. That's so frustrating that we could just concede like that. And he would actually do it. He would do that chest sombrero roll. You know when the ball's coming up, flicks it up onto the other one?
Flicks it up on it. It's crazy.
It's crazy the stuff that he would do. Do you remember the sombrero flick that he did against, I don't remember who it was against, but it was for Barca, where he just basically had his back to it, flicked it over the defender, and then volleyed it into the low corner.
After
beating how many guys before that? The fact that he won Puskas Awards in Brazil for basically just stepping over. I remember the one skill move. I still use this. The only skill move I can actually do really, really well. I still do it to this day when I play against kids on the playground at school. It's that, how can I describe this so auditorily everyone will get this? Left foot step over the ball, then left foot behind your standing leg and poke it forward and it megs the guy. Neymar invented that. You know what skill I'm talking about, bro?
No.
You know when you roll it over and then your left foot, as you're going, you flip it.
You can do that? That's crazy.
I could do that still to this day.
Neymar did that. That's a Neymar skill move, bro.
He invented that. And that's the craziest one I've ever seen. Because I saw other people do it afterwards. Yeah. Neymar had the audacity to actually do that.
I get that. No, Neymar, I think you're initiated in like a baller topic or like a baller list when you have skill moves like representative of you, like Ronaldo's like the Ronaldo chop or the fucking you know, shit like that. But you're a baller, that means that's automatic. So Neymar made a couple moves, bro. Neymar was the techiest of them all with his freaking mohawk, blonde mohawk back in the day. Crazy. So it's unfortunate, man. I'm really sad about it because I literally watched Neymar grow like up basically from my fucking TV or not even like YouTube, literally YouTube. Neymar owned YouTube from Santos. It's like I'll never forget that. Most subscribed channel, maybe. I don't fucking know. Like, it was crazy. But this is a good list, Nate. This is a really good list.
So I'll take you through the 10. Again, from 10 to 1, you can tell me if you think there should be a different order for anything. Then I'll give you my wild card. You tell me, do I bump anyone in the top 10 for this guy? Or is he just out of the top 10? So 10, Alain Saint-Maximin. 9, Florian Wirtz. 8, Joao Felix. 7, Phil Foden. 6, Vinicius Jr. 5, Kauru Matoma. 4, Kvaradona. 3, Musiala. 2, Mbappe. And number 1 is Neymar.
Dude, this is a crazy list.
It is
a crazy list. I agree with it. I agree with it.
It makes sense.
I agree with all of it. Yeah, I want to hear what the wild card is, because this better be a good one.
Rafael Leao. Where does Leao enter a conversation like this, bro?
Talk about a baller, bro.
I know, dude. Oh. And I kept him as a wild card because I'm like, I can't place him in the top 10 because he deserves to be. He could be anywhere in a top 10. And I couldn't even tell you who he bumps here.
I can't believe it.
There's no way we can omit him, right? Like, he's damn good. Who do we bump? Do we just bump Maximin? Like, that's such an easy one. History will remember Saint-Maximin.
I know. But I'll tell you why he bumps Saint-Maximin, okay? Because Saint-Maximin is... Leao, sorry, is what Saint-Maximin should have been.
Oh, there's a good...
Dude, let me tell you.
Great argument, Joe. Dude, tell me, bro. Tell the people.
That's what, if you watch Leao, what does he do? He does the same thing, exact same thing as Saint-Maximin, where he just takes the ball and does whatever the fuck he wants with it, crosses it, shoots it, cuts inside, except he does it in a more effective and better, like he's just better. Yeah. He's better. Maximin does the cut inside. He cuts inside and he doesn't finish. The ball flies.
Yep.
Leao scores. It's, and look, when you have so much space in front of you, what do Maximin and Leao both do? They just drive. They're like, fuck a pass, bro. When they give them the ball, notice, Maximin and Leao, when they give them the ball, look how far the team moves away from them.
Yeah.
It's because they let them do their thing. And that's like exactly that. So that's why you should bump Maximin. As much as I love him, but definitely Leao, at least number 10.
Can we, and by the way, I don't want this to come off as I didn't have Leao in the top 10. I always had Leao. I wanted to know where we can place him, because I figured Saint-Maximin's the easiest one to bump.
Yeah.
But realistically, how high can we put Leao on this list, Joe?
You know what? Who's number 6? Vinicius?
Vinicius.
Okay. No, he's definitely number 7 at least.
Okay, so he's higher than Joao Felix, Phil Foden, and Florian Wirtz?
Yeah. Baller. Listen, we're talking baller.
I'm not upset with that. I actually texted Milan. He didn't get back to me in time for the episode, but I texted him this morning. I was like, dude, I need your expert insight. I wanted him to tell me where he would put him in a top 10 list. He hasn't got back to me yet. So I'm sure by the time he's listening to this, he'll be like, damn, I could influence this list.
Where did you put him?
I kept him as a wild card for now. I didn't put him in my 10 intentionally because I wanted to have this discussion about where he'd go.
It's 7, I think, definitely.
Because, bro, you could make a case for him as high as you, basically as
actually,
high as you want.
As high as you can. Because number 4 and 5, you want to push them, but you can't because that's the true definition of baller. You know, like came out of nowhere, just fucking hit you with that shit. You can't do that. And then 1, 2, and 3 are like the best players in the world, bro. Exactly. So 6 or 7, that's perfect for it. I think he's more techie than Felix, Foden, and Wirtz. Wirtz. Yeah, definitely, bro. Because Leao is, when you look, you're like baller because they leave him alone. Amazing,
so good, and the evolution he took on, because he was Maximin, where he was just he's pulling up, trickery, exactly. Nice, explosive, but he doesn't really have that, and then he became the guy. And then they're like, oh my God, this is...
Here's a new contract. Yeah, literally.
Yeah. And by the way, took a pay cut because he could have made more. And he took a pay cut. He's like, I'm going to make reasonable money at Milan when I could make absurd money at many other clubs.
I respect that. But like, for real, Italy need to shape the fuck up, to be honest. Honestly. They're like...
The fact that this player is on 100K a week, like, dude, there are trash players in the Prem who make
Chelsea would give him 400.
Yeah, honestly.
No, I swear.
No, for real.
Nine year contract too. 100%, bro. Bro, literally,
he's gonna get a $200 million. He's gonna get an NBA Pro Max like contract.
Yeah. We're gonna extension. You know, Chelsea would be like Toronto. We'd give Pascal Siakam a fucking extension like that, and then like you can drop like 8 points or some shit, and then it'll be fine. God,
I'm glad we did it this way because I knew that if I put Leao in the top 10 and then I brought up Sam Maxman as a wild card, he wouldn't have cracked. He wouldn't have. It would have been like, oh, just an honorable mention. This dude deserves to be in that conversation.
That's a good wild card, bro. This is a good way. It's a good structure. We did a good structure.
It really is. Yeah, it was a good structure. No. It's my birthday gift to you, bro. I wanted to give you a fun episode.
This is the best fucking birthday gift ever, bro, because that was certified ballers, bro. That is amazing. Leao was such a good shot. I love that guy so much.
Yeah, disgusting. I want to give a shout out to a certified baller who doesn't fit the definition of what we did today because he's not on the ball crazy, but he's just been a moment maker.
Yeah.
Jude Bellingham won the Clásico for Real Madrid today in stoppage time. He mounted the comeback. Banger for the first
they
goal.
They won.
92nd minute, Jude Bellingham scores the winner.
We got to talk about this guy, bro. This guy's a baller, bro.
Dude, he is. I didn't put him on the list because it's not in the same way, right? The other players we talk on this list, they're run at you. You have terror in your heart.
This guy's effective.
Now, arriving to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
He's just, bro, it's unbelievable how much he's scoring. And you're like, this guy's a baller. Like, he's winning games for them. I didn't include different types of ballers. I went with what I thought to be the best definition.
No,
for this
list is perfect. List is perfect. Yeah. That's I know exactly what you mean. So yeah. And I think everyone now, like seeing the names, they know what we mean. We mean like actual, you know, like talent, techie, you know, kind of skillful players. That's where we're going.
Grip.
Yeah. Grip, bro. I like that.
But believe it or not, I thought we started this list fast. I didn't think this would take us an hour, and here we are. It's almost 1 o'clock, which means you and I are wrapping this show. 216 in the books, dude.
Wow. I like that number, 216. That's a good number.
It is a good number. It's a very, very good number. It's a good birthday number for you.
I know, bro. Thank you.
Anyway, guys, this has been episode 216 of the Jersey Wall Podcast. As always, I've been your host, Mr. Nathan Santos. With me, I had Joey, the birthday boy, back in the co-host.
Thank you, bro.
So wonderful to have you on the show.
Love you, man. Thank you so much.
I love you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week. We did this a very different style. We didn't do current events necessarily. This is one of those shelf life episodes. I want you to listen to this later. Come back to it. See how it's aged. I want you to feel, I hope you felt this list deeply within your soul because, bro, this is just pure vibes when we made this. And I hope that
100%. The best sort of vibes.
The continuation of this episode will be Mina and I will do it. And we'll do the greatest ballers of all time.
That's a good one.
I can't wait. I hope you guys enjoyed. We love you. We thank you. If you want to check out more TJW content, be sure to click the link in the description. Otherwise, we'll see you next time right here on the Jersey Wall Podcast.
We love you guys.